You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified Podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build the social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw, and today I have a guest that I am so excited about. Teresa Quinlan actually is somebody, now this is how I remember Teresa. Teresa is the first person that ever taught me how to train for a half marathon. And Teresa and I work together in the corporate fitness space. But what Teresa does now is absolutely blowing my mind in terms of the potential and the growth that can happen with entrepreneurs. So what Teresa does is she actually helps connect the dots between your emotional intelligence and your intellectual quotient, or as they call it, emotional quotient, EQ, plus your IQ, intellectual quotient, helping you take your talents and skills to the next level and really helping you compound those. Because we all know as entrepreneurs, we need to be working in our space of strengths to really build the business of our dreams. So Teresa, thank you so much for being on the show today.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking. I'm so excited. I can't believe that's the first memory is the half marathon. It made me shake my head a bit because I'm like, that's right. I did that so often for so many people, which is really fantastic. I love it.
Yeah. So you've always been a coach and you've always helped people get to that next level in goals and where they're going. So how did this passion really start for you? How did you start coaching and teaching people and helping them reach their goals?
I think a lot of these things we start from a young age. Mm-hmm. And if we have perhaps the luck of having people in our lives who identify it within us, then they open doors and opportunities for us to really sort of leverage and capitalize on it. And so from a young age, I would say around 9, 10, 11, I had opportunities where I got to be captains of sports teams. And that sort of carried through my high school career and my young adulthood, as I had all of these opportunities to be in quote unquote leadership roles where coaching is an element and a very strong element. And that passion for wanting to help people to grow into their fullest potential is kind of selfish because it's so self-rewarding to watch someone else step into the fullness of who they are. I was used to doing that for myself. I'm slightly a high achiever and I like to have a list of things to do and I like to go after those things and I like to have a personal best and, you know, that's my personality and I'm cool with all of that. It doesn't bother me when sometimes people will say, oh my God, always achieving, always aiming. When are you going to lie down? Like when I'm dead, we'll have plenty of time to do that. Right. So to be able to have had sort of many opportunities throughout life to do that, I think has come from both a passion for wanting to do it and the opportunity of other people recognizing and then opening doors for me.
When you said when you're lucky enough to have someone in your life to recognize that, that just gave me goosebumps. I think back to my career in corporate and then, you know, the different path that I'm in now. There's so many key people, coaches along the way that believed in me. And that was sort of the fuel to keep that fire going. That's just one thing that anytime I've had a coach, and that could be a business coach or a coach on a sports team, I've just been able to get to a different level of achievement that on my own, when just surrounded by my own thoughts, it was definitely difficult to get there. So I know that you had identified for yourself there, you had said you had sort of leveraged your own strengths, knowing you were an achiever, knowing you were a maximizer, a learner, a relator, and an empath. So can you tell us a little bit about these categories and how you define those for yourself? Where did those strengths come from?
Well, Marcus Buckingham has this great book. And it's the Strength Finders. So these are signature themes. Anytime you take an assessment, it's generally just going to provide you with information. You can learn more about yourself. And so how do you capitalize on these things? But the other thing it gives you is the double-edged sword. It lets you know how these things can also derail you. So that's an important element, is the balance in how we use them. One of the things that you mentioned earlier is that emotional quotient. Oftentimes the EQ skill is the balancing skill to our personality or our natural strengths. So being someone who's an achiever, I have to balance with stress tolerance, because achievers can tend to put a lot of stuff on their plate and go at it at a maniacal pace. Mm-hmm. And so you need to have stress tolerance strategies and emotional self-awareness to recognize when you're pushing yourself too close to that edge and your self-care is not a priority, or you're sacrificing. You won't be able to achieve at the same level if you're not doing that kind of stuff.
Interesting. So I love that book, Now Discover Your Strengths, where there is that quiz in there that you can figure out what your strengths are and how to leverage them. Mm-hmm. So that's an important book for anyone out there looking to do the same, understand what their strengths are. Now, what's so interesting about that? So for every strength that we have, would you say that there's a balance to that that we need to also keep in check in order to be functioning still at that high level? Because if one, so let's say you're a high achiever, but you're not able to keep that stress tolerance at a certain level, then one will flip the other. Is that?
That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
So we could take another one as an example. Like, empath is a strength. Empathy is an emotional intelligence skill set. Mm-hmm. The balance to being an empath or to being empathetic, which is generally a sensitivity towards other people's feelings and understanding of people's perspectives, not agreeing with them, but really understanding them and being able to sort of wrap your head around, oh, that's what it's like for you. Okay. If I don't have the balancing EQ skill of assertiveness, then I will get lost in what they want, and I will get lost in their emotional, and I'll get pulled into their trauma or drama or whatever else they may want to do. And I'll lose my assertiveness. I'll lose my beliefs, my personal values. And that's not a good balance to be on either, because that could lead towards me then resenting them as opposed to really leveraging what empathy is all about.
Wow. That it's so funny, because we always talk about in the entrepreneurial world, like leaning into your strengths, but this piece seems to be missing. There's not a lot of people that talk about the balance to that. And I myself am definitely an achiever, and I've learned to let go of things being perfect. So that, I think that stress tolerance factor of like a B plus is okay in my books now.
Right.
But the empath, that's really interesting, because I can lean right in, and that assertiveness can be lacking at times. So that is so cool that it is, you've got to keep those things in balance and have strategies around both. I've never put that together, but that is so interesting.
It is. It can be life-changing when it happens. Even just the acknowledgement now of you going, oh, that's what happens. There's a level of self-awareness that perhaps you're gaining just in this moment that you'll be able to carry forward with you and now be more aware when these things are out of balance with each other and how it biases or influences what you do next in things like decision-making or problem-solving or relationships. Because in essence, that's what happens, is in the moment of their interplay, we may sacrifice one thing for the other. And when we do that, it strongly influences the path that we then take. And we can course correct at any moment, because sometimes our self-awareness is lagging behind our actions. And we might get three or four action choices down the road and then have this hindsight where we go, oh, crap. I didn't want to do that. I don't want to actually be here. And now I can see where I'm going. I needed to, two steps ago, take this different action. We can course correct at that moment. It might take us a little bit longer to backpedal correct what we need to correct, but we can do it then.
That's so interesting. So if somebody wanted to, we know where to find the strengths. Like if we wanted to invest in doing Now Discover Your Strengths, we can do that quiz. Does that also give people the ability to see what the balance is to that strength?
Well, in the report itself, it will say like, this is how you leverage it and all great opportunities. And then it's like, and watch out because this is how it can also not help you. Okay. It doesn't necessarily, the report doesn't necessarily give you like the balancing side of it, like the emotional intelligence side of it. However, Travis Bradbury's book, Emotional Intelligence 2.0, it's a nice introductory book to emotional intelligence. The model that I practice is EQI 2.0.
Okay.
And this model itself is by Ruben Baron. And so his description of emotional intelligence skills is just so much more robust. And this is where we learn things like the balance between empathy and assertiveness, a personality trait or a talent, and an emotional intelligence skill. So while EQ or emotional intelligence 2.0, great introduction to start to learn about self-awareness, self-management strategies, to learn about social awareness, relationship management, great stuff there. If you want to get more robust, you got to kind of tip into the 2.0 model.
Oh, that's so cool. So when you're working with people in your coaching practice, what is it that, how do you tackle this with them and help get them to that sort of side of the entrepreneurial space and helping them tackle these things?
Well, we first start with an assessment. So a self-assessment is a great way to sort of take a look and go, where do I think I'm at with my emotional intelligence? And there's a lot of validity markers that make sure when you're answering it, that the report is accurate.
Yeah.
You can't give yourself an overly positive or an overly negative rating. It will show up in the validity report. And then it's not that we throw the, you know, baby out with the bathwater. We just sort of take the report itself with a little bit of a grain of salt. So we have this capacity to self-assess our emotional intelligence and be able to see where are our skills around these five realms and 15 skills within emotional intelligence. And generally where we begin is taking a look at what are the goals of the entrepreneur. So what are you trying to accomplish, first of all? Like, are you looking at impact? And your whole purpose driven behind your entrepreneurial career is making impact, and you know what you want that impact to be. Is it around need? You recognize sort of a gap in the industry or a need by a particular clientele, and so you want to fill that. Or, you know, are you financially driven? Because sometimes these are the three maybe pillars that sit at the front for entrepreneurs, and they may jockey for position. They may not always have the same position, but we have to be really considering those things. And one of the pillars that this comes down to in emotional intelligence is authenticity. There are six emotional intelligence skills that play towards our authentic nature. So when we think entrepreneur, impact, need, financial, we're also going to be thinking about what are our values, our purpose, and our talents. And emotional intelligence under authenticity helps us to make sure that we are, when we are deciding these things as an entrepreneur, they resonate with who we are as an individual. Because our longevity as an entrepreneur will be, I think, directly related to all of those things that make up who we are.
Oh, 100%. So as an entrepreneur, maybe someone is, let's say they're just getting started or they're fairly new in their career. How would they know that this is something that could really help them in their business? Like, are there some key signs you start to see in the people you coach?
Yes. And sometimes there's really big key signs and sometimes they're very subtle. However, what I believe best is people are their best self-assessors as to, am I living to my potential? Am I living in my truth? And sometimes just sitting in silence allows you to figure that out. And then there are some people who are completely unaware, self-unaware. And there's actually a very small percentage of the population that would be considered self-aware. So we need a little bit of objectivity from other people to hold up a mirror. But that's what we call social cueing. So one of the things we can sort of start to self-assess is, how am I managing just stress on a regular basis? Do I sleep well? Do I eat well? Am I exercising? Do I dedicate to self-care? Or am I sort of throwing that to the wayside? And stress management has an element of optimism. So do I have a level of positivity and a positive outlook on life? The next sort of key indicator could be the, what I call floundering, what most people would call floundering. is it difficult for me to land on a decision as an entrepreneur? Because when I put pen to paper, so when I had my moment of, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. it happened in probably 20 minutes where I was exploring the opportunity of what do I want to do next? The current career I was in, some information was provided to me by my manager that was kind of like, you've reached maybe a ceiling. It doesn't look like the organization is going to move in the direction you would like it to. And I was like, well, at least now I know. Mm-hmm. Because now I have the choice of, do I want to stay? Do I want to take what I'm doing and do it with another company? Or would I like to take what I love most about the work that I'm doing and make that what I do full time? And it was a process of just taking my pen and writing these three options down. And when I got to the third one and wrote it down, it overwhelmed me with that sense of, yep, that's it. And we all know we have an internal sort of barometer for when we're landing on something that is our truth, that we know is everything that we've been working for, wanting to do. It hits all of the buttons of my values, my purpose, my talents, my impact, my need. Mm-hmm. It fits all of those things. Mm-hmm. And the financial will be a byproduct, and that financial will come a lot faster if you have those other boxes already checked.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, would you say that when you looked at those three decisions in front of you, because I think a lot of, let's just say maybe people that have fallen into social selling, or maybe it's people that are thinking about a change in their career path, they could do those three things. They could, maybe a lot of social sellers could be moms that are deciding like, am I going to stay home or am I going to do something different? So they've got this option of, I can stay home, I can go out and go back into the workforce and do something different, or I can find something that really speaks to my needs, my values, and that truth button lights up for them. Would you say that most, like if you're an entrepreneur, and maybe this is truth or not truth, but as an entrepreneur, that is sort of always going to be the calling for you? And maybe what I'm really asking is, entrepreneurship learned, or is it something that always exists in you?
Oh, great question. I do believe there are natural personality traits that elevate your capacity mm-hmm. as an entrepreneur. And there are probably learned skills that will help you to be better as an entrepreneur. But I think if you're missing some of those natural personality traits, it just makes the road a little bit trickier to navigate. Mm-hmm. Not that you can't do it. You may struggle a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I've had conversations in this first year with other entrepreneurs and some who've been entrepreneurs for like a decade. And, you know, they're like, has your first year been tough? Because they're speaking from their experience, right? Right, and so they ask it in a way that is visibly telling that I'm supposed to say yes. And so when I say no, it hasn't been at all, they're shocked. The look of shock comes across their face and they're like, what do you mean it hasn't been at all? So then I describe what the year has been like for me. And they're like, you know, that's not normal. And I'm like, no, I don't know. That's not normal because this has been my experience, which is my normal. Mm-hmm. So you have an experience which creates your normal as well. So when I speak to entrepreneurs, I don't talk to them about what a first year could be like that is different than what mine was like, because that's what my experience was like. Mm-hmm. So I talk to them about these things, how I made the decision, how it resonated with me. And I ask them about the same, what is resonating with you? Are you getting those boxes checked? Have you even thought about those kinds of things before? Because if you're seeking in desperation, you'll seek the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It will come back to you in that way as well, where it'll be a struggle and you won't be motivated to get up, and doing the work that needs to be done won't be fulfilling. And so, you know, you'll drop it before it even gains any traction, or you'll lose a crap load of money.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not good.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of social sellers out there that they're looking for something, and the opportunity that's presenting themselves, they do feel it's a grind to, you know, get in and do the key behaviors that they know they need to do. But would you say that when that happens, it might be, could it be that a strength is not aligned in what they need to do in that moment to grow the business? Or is it something else at play when that motivation is just not there?
Both.
Both. Okay.
So I would say a strength probably isn't at play, and that is impacting motivation. For most people to be engaged in their work, they need 20% of their work. So not very much if we think mm-hmm. about it. to be red thread dedicated. And red sometimes has this bad color, but I want to use red thread as a really good color. Red threads are what carry our energy throughout the day. So when we think about, well, what are those things that jazz me up? I cannot wait to do. Social selling, is that calling clients? Is it doing a presentation? Is it, I don't know what it might be, but what are those things? And does your day consist at least 20% of your time doing that kind of stuff? And most often than not, when we start to look as an entrepreneur at what we're spending our time doing, it isn't utilizing that kind of talent or red thread motivation. And so it feels like a grind. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say when I look back, I spent probably 80% of my time in the red thread zone.
Yeah.
I did the stuff that I knew had to be done, but also loved doing, which was getting out and speaking in the community about emotional intelligence, because people didn't know who I was. And because I'm the brand, I had to be visible as to what do I have. People had to know what the value that I would bring to them. And so I put the value out there for free as much as possible. Connected with as many other people that could get me in front of the people I needed to be in front of. It was the approach of putting all of those pokers in the fire at one time to see which ones caught. And the ones that caught, those are the ones you follow. The ones that don't, stop doing them. That would be my recommendation.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that with the red thread, because I think all the previous jobs I've had, it's sort of like a savings account. You pick up these things that you're like, I loved this part. I wasn't too keen on this part, or I didn't, you know, I felt like I couldn't make an impact, or this or that. And you pick up all these things in this little savings account as you go. And I felt like for my first year of business, at that time, I was working part-time as the president of a fitness company, and then thinking, I want to teach entrepreneurs in the fitness industry. And I'm not exactly sure what I want to teach them, but I know I want to teach them something. It was sort of one foot in front of the other of continuing to do the stuff that I loved and knowing that I need to outsource the things that I'm not good at. But I think in the entrepreneurial space, at least when you're online, one of the things you have to love is being the face of the business, getting out there and having that one-to-one connection with people. Mm-hmm. Because I think that I sometimes see that with people, that they don't love getting in front of the camera or in front of an audience. But I wonder if it could that be, it's not that it's not an innate strength, but they haven't found the truth in which they want to speak about. And maybe that is a piece of it. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. I think there's also a third option is that they don't need to be the face.
Right.
If they're the brand, so you and I have products where we are the brand. We're the content. We're the product. We have to be the one who then sells ourselves. We can't have a promoter. We're not fighters. We're not sports athletes. We don't need a promoter that's going to get us be contract. We have to be out there promoting ourselves. When you have a product, a tangible product, a clothing line or a type of fitness workout or something like that, you can have someone else that is your promoter. If you're not that person to stand in front of the camera, you can have that kind of stuff. As you say, you can hire the people for the parts of the business that aren't your strengths. But you have to know that you are driving your strengths to the parts of the business that need you to drive, and don't have someone else do that. I think the other thing too, Ashley, is the need to get it all perfect before you start doing it. If we could just all drop that concept straight away as an entrepreneur, we will start to make ground. Allow your business to evolve. So from your perspective, you knew what you wanted to impact, but you didn't know how you were going to do it yet. I had all of my content already in my head. What I didn't know was how I was going to package it for people. And one of my talents is flying by the seat of my pants. I've been doing that for years. And so I feel comfortable talking to people about emotional intelligence, how it can impact their bottom line, and then getting into designing on the spot what it is that they would need. I didn't need to have a product behind me to say, hey, you can buy this product and it will help you do these things.
Now, what is that strength? I feel like that's a similarity with me, just in the fact that I could get on a live and not know exactly, I don't have a script, I have an idea. I'm just going to talk it through with you. But that might be something, a strength that some entrepreneurs, again, have, and others might be an area they want to work on. Is there a strength that comes out that you would say it would fall under that category?
This is where your IQ starts to come into play.
Okay.
Your aptitude for certain skills, right? And as an entrepreneur, you're going to need an aptitude towards certain skills based on what kind of entrepreneurial life you're choosing. So knowing this is, you know, the emotional intelligence side of self-awareness. Self-regard is knowing our strengths and our weaknesses and accepting them both. And so we want to put ourselves in the arena that leverages our strengths and stay away as much as possible from the arena that is all about our weaknesses, because we will not thrive in that space. So if we don't understand what they are, then we may be picking things where we're falling flat on our face. And that might be a key indication for entrepreneurs that are, have tried different starts and they keep falling flat because they're not playing in the arena of their strengths yet.
Right. And so can you explain the difference between then intellectual quotient, emotional quotient? What are the difference between those two things?
Yeah. Well, our IQ is static by the time we're 19, so which is our aptitude, our capacity for learning. It ends. It doesn't get any better after we're 19. It doesn't mean we can't learn new things, but the depth to which we will learn things has a cap.
Okay.
I also want to bring in personality. So our personality is static by the time we're between 5 and 7. You know, when people say, oh, you're competitive. Oh, you're really friendly. Oh, you're sensitive. Like those kind of personality traits, those are static. We finish those by the time we're 5 to 7. Emotional quotient is how we understand our emotional information and then use that effectively. That's a skill set we can grow continually. It has no cap to it, no end to it. Now, our IQ will influence the depths at which we can learn it. Our personality will likely influence the standard deviation of how much we will learn something in emotional intelligence. And an example of that is from a young age, quite stubborn. And so in my emotional intelligence journey, learn to pick up on the signal of when I'm being stubborn, which for me is generally I get quite hot. The only time I get warm. And when I can recognize the subtle rise in temperature, then I can deploy a strategy so my stubbornness doesn't get in my way.
Right.
Now, if I have a triggering moment where someone really challenges a decision I've made, my stubbornness can show up in full force. And I know that if I do not arm myself with flexibility, which is an emotional intelligence skill, which is adapting my emotional state, if I don't do that, I'm about to rub that person the wrong way. Like I'm about to speak in a way that will be offensive, speak in a way that will be destructive to our relationship. And we're going to have a moment where they're going to turn right off of me. And when I was a teenager, I was very good at that. I was very good at turning people off by being stubborn and competitive in the same space.
Right.
As an adult, I learned how that was really derailing my success. And there was a better way of going about getting a very similar outcome with a relationship intact.
So would this be like a similar experience of, I know when I was in that range, you know, 5 to 7, I was in grade one. I knew that writing and creativity, that was just something within me that could not be stopped. It just sort of continued to flourish. So then if that is one of my skills, this, I don't know what we would call that, but something in my IQ, it was just this, for me, it was just a release, this ability to be creative through my writing. Would your emotional intelligence then allow you to put that skill at the forefront? I guess I'm trying to figure out how those two things will then coexist as you get older, sort of using that example. Like if creativity is something that came from a young age, how does my emotional intelligence later impact that?
So creativity here would be your personality trait.
Yeah.
Your IQ comes into play in your mode of expression was writing. So some people with creativity, their mode of expression will be music or art, photography, knitting. So we will hone a craft, which will be related to our intellectual quotient side. We may go about learning in a certain direction to really leverage that personality. So let's think about, when does creativity get in our way?
For me, I found that when I started working for corporations, I had to put a cap on it. I could only be creative to a certain extent because I needed to follow the curriculum. I need to stay on track.
Right. So creativity and creatives who have lots of thought, sometimes the barrier of execution gets in the way. We have to make a decision. Great ideas. We need to make a decision. I've got seven more ideas. Stop the idea. Yeah, we need to make a decision.
Right.
So impulse control is an emotional intelligence skill, and impulse control can be expressed in a couple of different ways. Because it's got this phrasing, impulse control, a lot of people will think that it's just people who interrupt. But it can also be our capacity to not make decisions.
Right.
We're stuck in a mode of exploring. But what about? And it takes us a really long time to come around to, oh, this is what it's going to be. And in the interim, people are waiting for you to get unstuck.
I see.
So that's where, you know, a creative individual to be innovative requires that we problem solve. And if we're stuck in ideas and we can't get to problem solving, then we have a derailer happening.
So does your IQ and the things that, you know, manifest at a young age, does that have a direct impact on your EQ? Or can they be very separate? It's just some people have, it's all about your personality is formed, but you're going to have different emotional skills as you get older. And that just can be very different. Or do you find they're always a little bit interlinked?
They're always interlinked.
Okay.
Absolutely. And when I look at people's profiles, emotional quotient profiles, and I get to know them a little bit more, now you see their personality has allowed them to leverage and grow certain EQ skills already. So on their profile, they have certain emotional intelligence skills that are really well developed. And that, that does come from personality experience, life experiences. It does come to also our education and whatnot. So that will grow certain areas of our EQ naturally. And then we'll have other areas that we have not tapped into, or our personality trait is an actual derailer to that emotional quotient. And so we have, most of the time, emotional quotient profiles are snaky. In there, some are high, some are low, some are in the middle. And that creates an imbalance in our EQ. And EQ is best when it's balanced, because a balanced emotional intelligence equals consistency in character. And we love people who are consistent.
Right.
Because when we are with them, we know what we're going to get. And this goes for people with low emotional intelligence even, because I feel safe when I know what I'm going to get. I don't feel safe when I'm approaching someone who today I might get like the princess, the sweetness, the kind person. I'm also at risk at getting the asshole, right? And so we want balanced emotional intelligence, because balance is how we really execute in front of other people and with other people, and the consistency of that execution. And now we just want them all to be, you know, high, good demonstration, and amplified on steroids.
So how do you think that as a, maybe someone that is a newer entrepreneur and, you know, knowing that our IQ is set at a certain level, it's not going to change after the age of 19. And then we've got this EQ at play. What would be two or three tips that you would give a new entrepreneur or somebody that really wants to lean into this stuff so that they can start to, you know, transform their business and transform the fact that they are focused in on their strengths and, you know, balancing those things?
The foundation of EQ is the self-awareness realm. So becoming self-aware, and that means different things to different people. So I just want to say, in this respect, self-awareness is I'm aware of how my emotions are at play in everything that I'm doing. And a very simple exercise to do is a reflective based exercise. So if I start today and grab myself a notebook, and at the end of the day, I think about all of my interactions that created an emotional response. Whether I want to label that emotion good or bad, doesn't matter. I'm going to write down the event itself. And then I'm going to write down my emotional response. So how did I emotionally feel? If you can name the emotion, even better. What were the physical signals that were telling me I was experiencing this emotion? When I was triggered by an event or a person or a comment or a look, mm-hmm. what went through my head? So I felt something, and then I had all of these beliefs and thoughts run through my head. I need to capture those beliefs and thoughts, because beliefs and thoughts amplify my emotional experience. They either confirm something for me, mm-hmm. or they get me to start looking at a different perspective. Most of us who are not self-aware, our thoughts and beliefs amplify our emotional experience. We're just confirming how we're already feeling. But how we're feeling is a response from our amygdala, the part of our brain that's just programmed to fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And all of our life experiences leading up to this moment have been emotionally hardwired into our amygdala. So for example, if my mother always produces a negative emotional response, so triggers anger, every time I see her, I will feel the sensation of anger. And then thoughts and beliefs that run through my head will confirm the emotion of anger. Like, I'll remember everything that she's ever done in the past that's made me angry, and I'll just amplify the anger experience. And my amygdala, every time I see her, just keeps storing anger, 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 anger. So every time I see my mom, I immediately feel angry. Mm-hmm. The only way for me to change that emotional response is to start challenging my beliefs and my thoughts, mm-hmm. looking from a different perspective, giving a different answer to something. And sometimes I'm not objective enough to do it myself, so I would ask other people, hey, if this situation happened to you, what would have been your response? What do you think that meant? And they provide mm-hmm. a new perspective for me, and I go, oh, I never thought about that before. And you're like, yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. You never thought about it before. Mm-hmm. So start thinking differently. Well, if you were to have had these different thoughts, what would your emotional response have been? I wouldn't have been angry. Mm-hmm. I would have been joyful. So even the practice of challenging our thoughts and writing down a new emotion mm-hmm. stores that in our amygdala as a different option. Mm. And what we're doing, if we practice this over and over and over again, is we're retraining our amygdala to have a different emotional experience. What does this do as an entrepreneur? It helps us to expand our perspective. And perspective expanding gives us the capacity to innovate. So it allows us to look at things from different angles. If I only look at something in the same way I've always looked at it, I will not see something different. I will not see a different way. Entrepreneurs need to be creative problem solvers. They have mm-hmm. to be able to look at, I'm not getting the financial, what do I need to do? I'm not getting the impact, what do I need mm-hmm. to do? I'm not solving the need that's out there. What do I need to do? If I keep sticking the same poker in the same mm-hmm. fire, I'm not going to change the outcome. Mm-hmm. And so this exercise helps us to retrain our emotional experience, and that expands our perspective, which allows us to be way more creative and innovative. Mm. Plus, we also start to become much more aware of ourselves.
Right. So an example of this could be if, you know, the people listening to the call today want to do that Now Discover Your Strengths quiz, they're going to be more aware of the things that typically might get them caught up. I know for me, for example, one thing was stress tolerance. So if I know that that is one of the things that, you know, I need to be aware of because I'm an achiever, that's on the other side of it, then I can be more aware of those things that cause me to feel like my temperature go up, I feel myself getting stressed, and then I can sort of change the way I react to that. Instead of just going unconsciously into that fight or flight, I can begin to unpack that a little bit when I feel if that stress indicator is my temperature rises, my breathing is increasing. I can decide in that moment, instead of just leaning into that, I'm going to meditate for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to follow these steps instead.
Yeah. Going to give myself 3 deep breaths. Mm-hmm. Your mention of meditation is probably one of the most important thing mm-hmm. that every emotionally intelligent individual does as a practice is mindfulness or meditation. Mm-hmm. It's on everybody's checklist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it helps you definitely become an observer instead of just being in all the thoughts and not being able to see it from above. Meditation is by far one of the things that has become a morning and evening practice. And it's something that I don't miss now at all in my schedule. It's easy, you know, instead of snoozing, I put on a 5-minute meditation. Instead of just going to sleep, I just put on a meditation. It's definitely a bookend to my day.
Yeah. See, and I do mine when I brush my teeth. Because teeth is something I don't have to pay attention to anymore. Mm-hmm. You've done it so many times. I don't have to be present to the brushing of my teeth activity. Mm-hmm. So I use that as my mindfulness practice mm-hmm. time.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm. Awesome. And so, Teresa, everything that you've shared with us, I feel like there's, you know, there's definitely a part two and a part three to all of this. There's so much good information here. What is the best way for people to continue to follow you and learn more about what you do, and how can they get in touch with you?
So on LinkedIn, Teresa Quinlan is a great way to connect with me or follow me as well, because I post content every day. My website information is there. So it's kind of like a nice single spot to go to get stuff about me and make it really simple. And then I do have a YouTube page by my name as well, where every single piece of video content I've ever produced exists. And it's basically a degree in emotional intelligence if you watch all of them. So you could chip away at your emotional intelligence journey with live video snippets from myself.
Okay. And Quinlan is?
It is Quinlan.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Teresa, for being on the show today. I really, really appreciate your time. And I'm so excited for our listeners to be able to dive in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
If you're ready to go 100% in building the business of your dreams, I'd love for you to apply at ashleyshaw.ca/mastermind. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I'll see you right back here for the next episode on Social Selling Simplified.